Shmuel Beis Perachab Imol Pasuk Dalet. So David is singing another Shira, a much shorter one. His last words of Ruach HaKodesh, as we said. And some of the Mefarshim say that this Shira is actually more complex in some ways than the 50-plus Pasuk Shira that we just did in Perachab Beis. And this is a more difficult one to parse, to really clue in on everything that's happening. The Radak has this enormous, long and detailed explanation of these seven psukim in his introduction to Parachav Gimel, which I urge you, if you have the time and energy, to go through, where he takes practically each word and then uses it to talk about the Chet HaChorban and the Mamlocha over the centuries, and really sees the entire future and the past in the words of these psukim. But we continue with the Pashta Pshat, because I'm only supposed to do 5 to 7 minutes. Ucha'ar boker yizrach shamesh. And as the light of the morning, when the sun rises, lo avos. A morning without clouds. Minoga mimatar deshe me'aret. When through clear shining after rain, the deshe, the tender young grass, springs out of the earth. So who are we talking about? So we're talking about the ruler who is righteous, and you imagine the clarity of a cloudless morning when one gets up, or after the rain drops and there's mist, and then there's that clearing moment. So the rule that I give to the tzaddik, says Hashem, will increase and grow stronger, just as the light of the morning grows brighter and brighter until noon, until midday. Not like a foggy day or when the sun is setting, but like the brilliant radiance of the sun in the sky. So a beautiful metaphor that any person can relate to. Certainly if you've ever been in camp on one of those mornings when it's kind of misty, and then when the mist burns off, especially in late August and the second trip, as you're waiting for camp to end and color war is coming, there's that real sense of incredible brightness when everything really sparkles. And the raindrops that have settled on the grass are gleaming there in the sun. Just a beautiful image. And that's the image of a righteous kingdom when you've got a tzaddik in charge. It's just an amazing thing to be able to behold and to be able to be a part of that sense of oneness in that bright light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hey, ki lo chein besi im el. Because is not my house, so it's a rhetorical question, is my house not established with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it not God who has established my house? Ki veris olam sam li arucha bakol ushemura. For an everlasting covenant he has made with me. Arucha, Shulchan Aruch, ordered in all ways. Arucha v'akol, ordered in everything. And sure, Ushemura, and guarded, and guaranteed, safeguarded. So you think about Matzah Shemura being safeguarded, not to remind anybody that Pesach is coming. Ki chol yish'i v'chol chefetz ki lo yatzmiach. For all my salvation and all my desire, will he not make it grow? So the word li, for me, for my household, very strong word, words that Hashem used to Shmuel when he sent the Navi to anoint David HaMelech, that he was going to be a king, li, unto me. So that too is present here. V'chol chepetz ki lo yatzmiach. Because will he not make it grow? Kol chepetz. Every chepetz, every desire. So, some say that David is actually contrasting his rule with the rule of his offspring, who would come later. That David's fortunes are flourishing, and David is Yirei Hashem, and David is pointing to the conditions for the survival of the kingdom, and those that would guarantee the survival of his descendants. They have to keep Torah, they have to keep Yiras Hashem, but his descendants would keep the kingdom even if they didn't safeguard Hashem's word. So this idea, ki lochein basi, might be, and some of them farshim say, a negative of what came before. Generally, you have to be a righteous man. But lochein basi, it's not necessarily rhetorical. Not so my house, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that we would go on and on, regardless of even though the fact that we're going to have some wicked descendants who are going to sit upon the throne, they still have the eternal covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's not overconfidence. That's counting on the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made. And actually, for all of these, I'm sorry, let's just do one more. Pasuk Vav, Uvliya al kikotz munad kulaham. Interesting word, kulaham. But the ungodly, the Belial, they are like thorns thrust away. Ki lo viyad yikachu. Because they cannot be taken with the hand. So the ungodly are like thorns. They don't fill a positive role. We heard the mashal of the thorn bush. Remember back in Shoftim about who should be king when Abimelech killed all his brothers. And then the youngest one gave the mashal that the trees wanted a leader. And the one that they picked was the thorn bush, which is nothing but destructive. Now, all of these psukim, Aleph through Vav, have parallels, particularly in Tehillim, Pei Tes. And so Rav Amnon Bazak takes time to draw the parallels between these psukim and Tehillim Pei Tes with Gever versus Gibor in Pasuk Aleph, with the Anointed One is a phrase that comes back in Tehillim, the idea that Hashem spoke, the Tzur Yisrael, the Rock of Yisrael, each one of these psukim has a parallel in Tehillim. And so the royal house that David is referring to are very apt last words, because as he is about to pass away, he is describing and invoking the promise that his house is going to be made sure forever. As we said back in Perek Zion, Nasan Hanavi had told him that his bias and his malucha would be forever before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, la'olam u'la'olam. And this is the realization of that, or at least David's invocation of the realization of that, at the end of his life, and he leaves behind the legacy for his children to carry on.